Why would Jeremiah become known as one of the most influential prophets of all time? According to the Bible, his integrity can be traced to an influential contemporary named Josiah. But the question follows, how did Josiah become a godly king? After all, his predecessors were godless, despicable men. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll guides us through a labyrinth of biblical clues that lead to an exhilarating outcome. One godly woman, a mother, altered history forever. Our study begins in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, beginning at verse 3. Chuck titled today's message, The Influence of One Devoted Parent.
During the 8th year of Josiah's reign, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor David. Look at verse 3. Then in the 12th year, he began to purify Judah. He's now 20. He's a very young adult. He began to purify Judah and Jerusalem. In fact, he takes charge. He does a very courageous thing. He destroys all the pagan shrines, the Asherah poles, the carved idols, the cast images, throws out all the prostitutes, gets rid of all the witchcraft, takes care of all the altars of Baal, demolishes them, the incense altars. He's only 20. He has no model that he can remember living when he was alive, Manasseh or Amon, but he's doing this righteous work. He did the same thing in the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, even as far as Naphtali. And verse 8 says, in the 18th year of his reign, he's now 26. He's still serious about his walk with the Lord. Why? Unlike a father who lived and reigned 2 years and a grandfather 55 years, he has no living example in his mind, but he accomplishes one good thing after another. So I search and I search through 2 Chronicles. I find no hint. 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings often cover the same subject. I turn back in my Bible to 2 Kings 22. And I began reading almost the same words regarding Josiah. Now stay with me. We're looking for the answer to Josiah's righteous life. Josiah is 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah from Bozkath. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. Stop. Between the announcement of Josiah's reign beginning at age 8 and then his following the example of David, his ancestor, there is an insertion, an entry found nowhere else in Scripture. His mother was Jedidah. We literally, except for the comment regarding her being the daughter of Adaiah from Bozkath, we know nothing more. I want to build my case and hopefully convince you of the power of one devoted life. I don't believe Jedidah was caught up in the lifestyle of her husband, Amon. I believe she walked with God. Jedidah pours her life into her son. If she has hope, she has hope in this boy. All other influences in his life, as we've seen, are evil, wicked to the core. But this woman, mentioned in the text on purpose, his mother, Jedidah. steps into his world, of course, and changes the whole direction of what it could have been. Josiah grew up as if the surrounding atmosphere wasn't evil. Why? Jedidah. She had such an overwhelming influence, I'm convinced, in the life of this boy that some would never even guess he was related to Ammon or Manasseh. There's another reason now that we're still in. Let's go back. 2 Chronicles 34. Let me show you something. It gets very exciting. Verse 14, 2 Chronicles 34, 14. So they're in the process of this revival, this renovation, this whole reformation of the kingdom, getting rid of all the wickedness, all the vile stuff that Manasseh and Ammon had brought in. And Josiah is cleaning house. So he dispatches some to get to the temple. And they go into the temple. They begin to clean up the rubble and get rid of that and start reshaping it, rebuilding it. Look at what happens. Verse 14. While they were bringing out the money collected at the Lord's temple, Hilkiah, there's that name again. Look at this. It's interesting how history turns. The dad of Jeremiah is now the priest, read in some Bibles as high priest. Hilkiah is now involved in the renovation of the temple. Of course, the world of the priest is the temple. The world of the king is the palace. And the world of the prophet is the people. Now, in this case, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord. Look at this. During the years of Manasseh, he got rid of all of that. He set aside and finally cast aside the scrolls of Scripture. They've been buried. And now in the process of digging through the rubble of the temple, they come across the book of the law of the Lord that was written by Moses. Look, Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the court secretary, "I found the book of the law of the Lord's temple." Then Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan. Shaphan took the scroll, of course, to the king. Who's the king? Josiah. Josiah's the king, and he reported, "Your officials are doing everything they were assigned to do. The money was collected at the temple for the Lord has been turned over to the supervisors and the workmen." Now watch. Shaphan also told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll." So Shaphan read it to the king. This is the first time in the life of Josiah he has ever heard a reading from the scroll of Scripture. You and I have Bibles of all shapes and sizes and different size print and different covers and different study techniques. In those days, this is rare. There is no scroll available. His mother, Jedidah, must have said, "Son, I remember when the scrolls were read and loved, but during the years of your grandfather, all of that was wiped. Someday it will return. Maybe in your lifetime." Now watch. And he read the scroll to Josiah the king, verse 19. You can understand this. When the king heard what was written in the law, he tore his clothes in despair. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achor, son of Maacaiah, Shaphan, the court secretary, and Asaiah, the king's personal advisor, "Go to the temple. Speak to the Lord for me." See, that's what priests did. Kings didn't do that. Priests did that. So he said, "Go and represent me. For all the remnant of Israel and Judah, inquire about the words written in the scroll that has been found, for the Lord's great anger has been poured out on us because our ancestors have not obeyed the word of the Lord. We have not been doing everything this scroll says we must do. Hilkiah and the other men went to the new quarter of Jerusalem to consult with the prophet Huldah. And it goes on to describe this. This is the word of the Lord. I love the way one man writes this, of this. Imagine the impact of that reading. Here is Josiah, disgusted with the evil of his father and grandfather and determined to do something about it, but not knowing quite how. He had no blueprint, no direction. The only things he had inherited from his father and grandfather were 57 years of evil. Now, he had this powerful document about the love of God and the worship of him, clear definitions of what are right and wrong, and explicit directions on how to make moral decisions and conduct intelligent worship. In Josiah's ears, the reading was a thunderclap of conscience. Isn't that a marvelous way to put it? I would add it was a magnificent reminder of those formative years when his mother would whisper to him, "Someday, son, you may live to see the recovery of the scrolls of Scripture." And here they are. Here they are. Josiah is listening to them read, and he realizes, now I have a blueprint for the Reformation. In fact, he follows that blueprint into chapter 36, and he reestablishes the Passover for the Jews, which they've not observed throughout the years of Manasseh and Amon. Now under Josiah, he says, we're going to observe it. And if you read that 35th chapter, you will see how it all unfolds beautifully and the people participate in it. It's a marvelous scene. Now, 13 years after all of this, when he's about 39 years of age, the Egyptians are making plans to move in, and they want to cross over through Judah, the land of Judea, and Josiah wants nothing to do with it, so he stands up against the Egyptian monarch, and he resists them, and there's a war that breaks out. And of all things, he is shot with the arrows from the Egyptian army. He's wounded mortally and placed into a chariot and taken back to Jerusalem, where he dies. We read of that toward the end of chapter 35, where verse 24, they lifted Josiah out of his chariot, placed him in another chariot, brought him back to Jerusalem, where he died. Now watch closely. Something else I'd never seen before until this study. Look at this. He was buried there in the royal cemetery, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. The prophet Jeremiah composed funeral songs for Josiah. Did you know that? I never knew that Jeremiah wrote songs. But he moves from the role of verbal prophet to singing prophet, and he writes songs for Josiah. And please continue reading. And to this day, choirs still sing these songs, these sad songs about his death. These songs of sorrow have become a tradition. Hang on. And they are recorded, here we are, in the Book of Laments. Now, that's the kind of thing that excites a preacher. If you'd been in my study, you'd have heard me, whoa! Oh, this is a great moment. I'm sure that some would have come to pick me up and take me away if you'd have been around. But look at that. Ties right in with the Book of Lamentations. What? The songs of Jeremiah, written about whom? Josiah, his boyhood friend, whom he encouraged through his kingship And though he only reigned for 31 years, Jeremiah is alive when it started, and he's alive when he's buried. And he remembers this dear man, and he writes the songs in honor of him. Since Josiah died so young, age 39, I cannot help but wonder if his mother attended his funeral. Probably so. I don't read of her death. Not that we could or would read of it, but seems significant enough that something would have been said. I rather believe she was there. And I rather believe she wept when she heard Jeremiah's songs sung in honor of her son. In fact, she was especially moved, verse 26. The rest of the events of Josiah's reign, your Bible reads, and his deeds of devotion. I love the way that reads. His deeds of devotion carried out according to what was written in the law of the Lord. You see, when he found the scroll, he aligned his life to the Lord, to the law of the Lord. From beginning to end, all are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. I say as I wrap this up to you who have so patiently listened to me as I've done cartwheels up here over stuff that makes you go, what? Tell me again what's so exciting. Well, maybe you've gotten a little excited with me. I think you have. Now let me tell you something that I hope you never forget. And I speak to parents and to grandparents. I speak to mentors. I speak to coaches. I speak to choir directors. I speak to teachers. Anyone who influences a young life, and you don't know at the time how significant your influence is, it is significant. I'm a living testimony to its significance. So let me say two things to all of us. One, any amount of time you spend encouraging and instructing your children or grandchildren is worth every minute of your time. Let me say, secondly, any investment of your life in their walk with Christ is a lifelong investment. You have no idea when they grow up how often they will quote you. I can still remember lines from my grandfather, actual words he spoke. As just a little kid running around his big old front porch there in El Campo, Texas, I'm sure he must have wondered, am I even listening? I remember sitting in his little bedroom study, and he had a real high bed. I don't know why grandparents, the older they get, the higher their bed gets. And his bed was high enough for a ladder. So I really wanted to climb up that ladder and take a nap on his bed. And I finally worked up the courage. I said, Granddaddy, can I get on your bed? And he thought about it for about 10 minutes, as I recall. And then he said, well, little Charles, you may, but behave yourself. How can you misbehave laying on the bed of your grandfather while he's in the room watching you? I said, I will. And so I got up there and I laid like this. I remember like it was yesterday. It wasn't the bed. It was the presence of my grandfather who had time for me. God will honor your time. God will reward your investment. Keep spending time. Keep investing your life. Keep putting your arms around them. Keep reminding them of how important it is that they follow God's word. Keep living the life. Keep bragging on them, affirming them, loving on them, believing in them, you have no idea the difference it will make. There's an old missionary song we used to sing years ago. We don't sing it anymore. It has a stanza in it I've always loved. Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. And all you spend, Jesus will repay. He will reward, he will remember. And best of all, that little life right now, someday grown like Josiah, will bring honor to your Savior. And you'll have the double blessing of walking with him and walking and watching your own progeny walk with him. Bow with me, will you? Thank you for your patient listening to this message. I care so much that we invest our lives in those who come behind us. May all who come behind us find us faithful. You may have never met the Savior, and this is just a great moment for you to realize that. And right now, give your heart to him. He will become your mentor. He will be your guide, your Lord. Thank you, Father, for the joy there is in discovering truths tucked away in your word. Thank you for godly mothers, for great fathers. Thank you for grandparents who take time. Thank you for mentors who have vision for the younger who understand them and their needs and speak words of encouragement. Thank you that we are recipients of those who have gone before us, and we're grateful for each life that cared enough to take time to invest in us. You're the one who gets the credit, Father. Raise up others, even during this pandemic. Remind us that being together is a blessing from your hand, made possible in your plan. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Everyone said, amen.
This concludes message number 2 in Chuck Swindoll's brand new 8-part study called Jeremiah's Journal of Woes. And in the coming days, you'll appreciate the manner in which Chuck addresses the violent rioting in our streets today and how he makes the connection with the ransacking of Jerusalem centuries ago. So stay with us for this entire series to discover the wise and timeless counsel we find in God's Word. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. In addition to this daily program, I'll draw your attention to another source of encouragement from Insight for Living Ministries. Thousands of people all around the world subscribe to receive Chuck's daily devotions. During challenging days, it's a wonderful way to keep your heart and mind immersed in God's Word. The daily devotional is sent via email and is free. To sign up today, simply go to insight.org. It seems all we hear these days is bad news. But I can assure you there's a lot of good news arriving at Insight for Living. One friend recently left a message that said, "Chuck, you are one of the first pastors that nourished my broken soul many, many years ago. I still get your devotional through email." And another who said, "I want you to know that you've had a significant impact and influence on my life. I've been reading your books since I was 17, and now I'm 46. These two comments represent a microcosm of the listening audience that's studying God's Word with us every single day. And to those who give, we're very grateful because we couldn't reach the world without you. To give a donation today, call us If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That phone number once again is 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org. Thanks for your generous support. It's almost impossible to escape the pervasive news these days. It's everywhere. And most of us are craving a break from the TV and a reprieve from the images of rage, disease, and civil unrest. In this volatile season, Insight for Living Ministries has continued to serve as a safe harbor where good news is celebrated. Many tell us that the Bible teaching from Chuck Swindoll provides a refreshing getaway from the chaos and confusion of our times. Well, these daily visits with Chuck are made possible in part by monthly companions, and we're inviting you to join this influential team of monthly supporters. Sign up today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
In this hostile, meat-first world, people are craving just one gentle whiff of God's goodness and grace. And when we respond today, our simple act of generosity will be transformed into that irresistible sweet aroma of grace for someone we may never meet this side of eternity.
Become a regular monthly supporter by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe Jeremiah's Journal of Woes, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Influence of One Devoted Parent, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.